Yeah, I was a little disappointed. Brother Tim didn't sing with his family, but I got to tell you, I think you would have lost it on that song, man. I do. I think we would have lost Pastor Tim on that song. So, yeah. I tell you, that was really good. All the music has just been outstanding, and I don't just say that. And I do a lot of traveling, and I'm telling you, I have thoroughly enjoyed the music this past week and thoroughly enjoyed Lighthouse Baptist. Hey, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 11. I want to ask a couple questions. Thank you for being here tonight. I want to ask a couple things. As you're turning, I think you can do two things at once. Here you go. Stand up if you were born in Pennsylvania. Stand up if you were born in Pennsylvania. Okay, that is about exactly what I thought. Okay, remain standing if you grew up within 100 miles of where we are right now. If you remain standing. Okay, we lost a few there. Remain standing if this has been home for you within 50 miles. Basically, your whole life, you've lived in this area. Remain standing. What's that? Well, no, I just... Yeah, this is where you would have considered home 50 miles. Okay. Yeah, I know. I really messed you up. Go sit down, up or down, whatever, you know. Okay. All right. Thank you. Maybe seated. So there is the majority of you, first of all, definitely the vast majority of you were born here in Pennsylvania. And the majority of you lived within 100 miles, 50 miles of where we are right now most of your life. You know, maybe there was a time that you were away from, but this has kind of been home really basically your entire life. And so many times where we live, you know, we think about the world and it's got to be evangelized and all of that. And but we kind of sometimes forget about our homeland. Now, there's a very important election coming up in Pennsylvania. There ain't no doubt about it. And you're one of the states that we as a country hear about almost every day about your election out here. But I want to tell you something. I hope you're burdened for the politics and the government. I think we should be as believers. But we cannot forget the souls of the people that are around us. And I the music tonight was all about this. And especially, I love to tell the story and just in the King's service and just everything has just really been about the gospel. And I want to talk to you tonight about rolling stones out of the way to get Jesus to dead people. Because we got to get Jesus to dead people. By the way, I forgot, what's the name of your church again? That's right, Lighthouse. Are you still a lighthouse in this area? Are you still a lighthouse? We need to be a lighthouse. So years ago, I was having my devotions in John chapter 11. And, excuse me, I knew when I came to John chapter 11, I knew what the story was. It's about Lazarus rising from the dead and Lazarus is sick at the beginning of the chapter. Lazarus' two sisters, Mary and Martha, are expecting Jesus to come and heal them. Because Lazarus is one of Jesus' friends. And Jesus is a friend of Lazarus. And so they're expecting that to happen. There's a lot going on right now in the ministry of Jesus. Matter of fact, this is the very end of his 3.5 years of earthly ministry. Everyone has heard about Jesus now. They've heard about the miracles, and there's a lot of people that are against him and actually trying to kill him. And so Jesus doesn't go. Well, the disciples are kind of glad about that, thinking like, well, that's probably good, and Jesus probably didn't go because, you know, I mean, just everything going on, someone may want to take his life. Mary and Martha are very disappointed because Lazarus dies. And I know all this. Matter of fact, one of the seven I am statements, my favorite. There are seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. Every one of them point to the deity of Christ. I am the door. I am the vine. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the chief shepherd. I am, but this is the one I love. This is my favorite. I am the bread of life. That's a good one. But this is the one, I am the resurrection and the life. So there are seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. I personally love this one the most. So Jesus finally arrives at Bethany. Lazarus is dead. He's been dead for 3 days. And I'm reading in my devotions, and I came to that I am statement where Martha says, "Where were you?" And Jesus said, "Hey, listen, man, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believe in me shall live forever." And then he comes to the tomb. By the way, shortest verse in the entire Bible is found here. Everyone together, shortest verse of the Bible. Jesus wept. Okay, we got that in here. He comes to the grave, verse 35. Let's pick it up, though, in verse 38. So I'm having my devotions. I'm reading this. And something struck me. Verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a, everyone together, what's the next word? And a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." So I'm having my devotions, and I come to that statement, "Take ye away the stone." And I'm thinking, wait a second. By the way, if I was building this, I would build these steps about 4 inches wider, but that's okay. The next time I come, get that done, because I'm going to kill myself. Now you can just say, "Why don't you just stay up there?" Yeah, that ain't going to happen, okay? So I don't know, where am I? So he said, "Yeah, I know." I'm thinking to myself, "Roll away the stone." Well, in a minute, Jesus is going to do what? Jesus is going to do what in a minute? Raise Lazarus from the dead. Well, I would think that if you could raise Lazarus from the dead, you could move a stone out of the way. So I'm thinking to myself, why does Jesus have them roll that stone away? Why didn't he just do one of these and the stone moves away? Clap his hand and the stone splits. He does not need those guys to move that stone out of the way. If you got resurrection power, you got stone moving power. So I'm sitting there in my devotions and I think, wait a second. Why does he tell them to move that stone out of the way? Well, first thing that came to my mind was, and I think it's a good point, he wants them to become a part of the miracle. He wants them to do it. By the way, I'm going to tell you something. There are angels in heaven that would give anything to come to this part of Pennsylvania and witness to your co-workers. There are angels in heaven that would say, "Could I go down to their place of work and witness, because they're sure not doing it." Let me just tell you something. The Lord has given us the privilege to be a lighthouse and to share the gospel to other people. And I think that he kind of puts them in there to be a part of the miracle. So I said, "Well, that's cool." Write that in my journal, you know. "Take ye away the stone." I thought, well, that's interesting. He wants them to become a part. Now, everyone together. Just watch here now. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Oh, Lord, no, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the, everyone together, they took away the, from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Now here it comes, verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Come forth." Is that all he said? No, what does he say? Lazarus, come forth. Because the old country preacher down in Georgia said he had to say Lazarus or everyone would have came out of the tombs. I like that. I really do. Lazarus, come forth. Now, so I'm reading this and I'm going, man, this is good stuff. Look at verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound, hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, hey, guys, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. He does it again. He did it again. He could have done one of these, and those things could have come out and been laundered by the time they hit the ground. Lazarus could have walked right out of those grave clothes. He said, guys, men, go help him take off those dead clothes. Nathan, I'm having my devotions. And I'm going, whoa, this is good stuff. This will preach like it's going to tonight. This will preach. I'm thinking, okay, what are the two action items he told them to do at that grave? Number one, hey, guys, move the stone out of the way to get the dead person to me. You know what that is? That's evangelism. You know what evangelism is? We move stones out of the way to get Jesus to dead people. Whatever the stone may be in that person's life that's separating them from God, our evangelism, we move stones out of the way to get Jesus to dead people. But what about the grave clothes, Brother Shetler? Yeah, we call that discipleship. Because you know what discipleship is? It's taking off the old life and putting on the new life. And the two task items that Jesus gave at that tomb that day was exactly the two task items he gives to Lighthouse Baptist Church. Now, I say this very sensitively because if I ever do come back, I want to hear that choir again, okay? But I am telling you this, guys, and I do mean this very sincerely. There is only two reasons why this church exists. That is to move stones out of the way and evangelize. Evangelize Dover, evangelize this part of Pennsylvania, evangelize the world. And number two, to disciple believers in their faith. You say, well, Brother Shetler, we got a problem because we have a thing called a Christian school. Whoa, that is exactly the two purposes of your Christian school. Evangelize boys and girls, students for the cause of Christ, and then disciple them, and you got them every day. Yeah. Christian education is exactly what this is supposed to be. Now listen to me. I don't have a problem having a choir, and I don't have a problem going bowling. I'd love to go bowling with the Pathfinders. I just don't have any spare time. But I'm sure they're going to have a ball. Hey, but afterward, make sure that none of them get in the gutter or nothing, okay? You go, Brother Shetler, that's three strikes. You're out, okay. Yeah. Anyways, okay. I can just keep rolling them. I'm telling you right now, but you don't probably want that. So I won't do the bowling thing. You know what? I don't have a problem with bowling activities. I did it when I was a youth pastor. What's the purpose of the bowling? Pathfinders, bring somebody to that bowling activity. Have a chance to do some discipleship with before or after that bowling. Listen, I'm just telling you right now, there is only two reasons why Lighthouse Baptist Church exists. One, move stones out of the way to get dead people to Jesus. Number two, to disciple them in their faith, to do the work of the ministry. That's the only two. Now, we don't have time tonight to do both of those. because I'm starting to travel home. So we do not have time to do both. So we're just going to do one tonight, evangelism. We're going to talk about moving stones out of the way. Let me give you, excuse me. Let me give you tonight four ways to move stones out of the way. And folks, you're here tonight. You need to hear this tonight. Four ways to roll stones out of the way. Number one, with creativity. With creativity. You got to learn how to roll stones out of the way. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Brother Shetler, you don't know what it's like in this part of Pennsylvania. No. Don't go there. You begin to ask God for creativity. Brother Shetler, you got to understand this part of the country. There's a lot of churches here. You wouldn't believe how many gospel preaching churches there are. People don't, you just can't go door to door in this area. It's not like wherever you've been and whatever you've done. So don't kind of come and give your, all of your, listen to me. Once in a great while, I played this game called golf. I'm not too good at golf. But there's a couple things that every time I go play golf, I do. Number one, I want my money's worth. So I see the whole course. I go down to the pond. Oh, yeah. I go in the woods many times. I go to the beach. Man, there's sand. I find it. I'm getting my money's worth. These people that take four shots. Wow, what a waste of money. Man, I have 14 shots, man, and I'm checking this whole thing out. So number one, when I go play golf, I see the whole course. Number two, when I go play golf, I'm using every club in that bag. If I'm carrying all these clubs around, I'm going to use them. You know what your problem is in evangelism? You got one club. Yeah, bless God. Bless God. Hey, there's a lot of clubs you can use. There's a lot of different clubs you can use. You ask God for creativity. By the way, we're coming into Thanksgiving. We're coming into Christmas. These are some of the best times of the year to use creativity to move stones out of the way to get people to Jesus. Look at this story. I love this story. Luke chapter 5, you there? Luke chapter 5, look at verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he, that would be the Yeshua, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea. There's just a ton of them. And Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. And behold, men, plural, men brought in a bed, a man, singular, which was taken with a palsy. And they, everyone in this room, what are the next two words? And they what? Sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they may bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Okay. I don't know what you do when you read the Bible, but I try, man, I'm thinking of it. This is a cool scene, okay? So you got these Jews carrying this guy with the palsy on their stretcher. And they come up to the house and they go like, whoa, look at all these people. Look at all these guys. Don't worry about it, Bernie. We're getting you in there, Bubba. Man, look at these guys. Hey, guys, let's bring them in through the window. Hey, that is a great idea. Let's bring them in through the window. Hey, there's only one problem. What's that? These houses. Yeah. Don't have any windows. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. That ain't gonna work. Okay, what else we got? Hey, guys, I got some shekels. Watch this. Hey, there's some shekels down there. Hey, let's go. Let's try that. Excuse me. Oh, that ain't gonna work. They won't get. Guys, think about this. This is so cool. Hey, guys, I got an idea. What's that? I saw a ladder when we were looking for the window. I saw a ladder over on the side. We can go up the ladder. We can go on the roof. We can tear the roof off and we can lower him down into rape by Jesus. By the way, did you ever think about Bernie? Hey, guys, I'm okay. Hey, guys, you know, maybe we'll catch Jesus down at the beach someday, down by the seashore. No, we got this, man. We're going to go up on the roof, we're going to tear the roof down, and we're going to lower you down. I think the guy with the palsy is going, I can have palsy for a couple more days, guys. It's okay. Think about that. They go up there and rip the roof off. By the way, you hear this, what I'm about to tell you. Do you ever think about the owner of the house? There have been times in my pastorate that people have asked me, couples, families have asked me to dedicate their houses to the Lord. They got a new home or something like that. I've always had a lot of young couples in my churches, and a lot of times they get their first house, and they say, hey, Pastor Shetler, will you come and dedicate our house to Jesus? Yeah, I sure will, but let me ask you, are you really giving your home over to the Lord? Oh, yeah, it's Jesus. This is the passage that I read. And by the way, when I was in Pensacola, this is really a good passage because everyone gets their roof torn off during a hurricane, okay? So this is the passage I read. I went over to the Grangers, John and Kimberly Granger, three kids. I went over to the Grangers. They got a brand new house. First home they've ever owned. Young couple. They were on the faculty at PCC, and they wanted, and they said, Pastor, will you come and dedicate your house, dedicate our house to the Lord? And I said, hey, I will, but do you really want to dedicate it to the Lord? I said, oh, yeah, we really do. So I went over that night, and we brought Marilena, brought a little home warning gift, and I took this passage. I read this passage. I said, now, are you really meaning this? You're giving the house to the Lord. It's no longer your house. It's the Lord's house. And they said, yeah. We want God to use the house any way that he wants to, and we're giving it to him. And I said, okay, so we prayed. Next morning, that was a Saturday, next morning at church, Kimberly comes up to me, Pastor, you will not believe what happened last night after you left. I said, what's that? She said, I was tucking my daughter into bed, and as I was tucking her down to bed, we were going to pray. And she said, Mommy, when are we moving? Well, we're not moving, honey. This is our new home. Well, tonight, Pastor gave our home to Jesus. When are we moving? She got it, didn't she? It's no longer our house. It's the Lord's house. Hey, now this is very important in this message. First thing you do to be creative, you look and see what you have. You got a pickup truck? How can you use that pickup truck for the Lord? You got a house? You got some property? How do you use this for the Lord? A month and a half ago, I spoke at a youth rally in Flushing, Michigan. It's called the Harvest Fest. Listen to this. 1,200 teenagers on a farmer's piece of property, 29 acres. They do all kinds of carnival events. The family gives that piece of property to the Lord, and teenagers come from all over the state of Michigan for 9 hours on that piece of property, and they do all kinds of games. I preached 3 times. We had over 1,500 decisions, and over 40 kids trusted Christ as their Savior. And I'm gonna tell you, they gave their property to the Lord. Now you think about this. What do you got? What do you have that God could use for the gospel? And I love this story. They sought means. They asked the Lord for creativity. God, how can we get our buddy to Jesus? And you need to be thinking that too. You've got relatives, you've got friends, you've got coworkers, you've got neighbors that you have never reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, it's not as easy as just going up and giving a tract. I understand that. So ask the Lord, everyone together, ask the Lord for, okay, that was terrible. We're not doing well here, okay? Ask the Lord for, ask God for creativity. Really quickly, I got to tell you this. This is the longest point, but I just got to tell you this. So this guy, Fred Carlson, and I went down and visited one of our missionaries, in Campo Grande, Brazil. We spent about one week in São Paulo visiting some of our missionaries. And then we had a single lady. Her name was Sheila Dull. She was a graduate of the college. Sheila what? Sheila Dull. Like Dull? Yeah, like Dull. Okay. I think it's D-U-H-L. She's married now. But anyways, so we went down and saw Sheila. Single girl. By the way, there's really no such thing as a single missionary because God goes with you, okay? So we went down and saw her. Now, she's joined with two families that have been church planters. Now, I got to be real careful how I say this. They really have been faithful folks. But it was late in their ministries, both these couples. They were pretty old. And they had just lost their fire. They really had. I'm telling you who was carrying the ministry. It was Sheila. And so Fred and I go visit Sheila and see how she's doing and everything. And I got to get going. So there's so many things I can tell you about Sheila, but I got to tell you these three things really quick. So we're going down a dirt road. And as we're going down a dirt road, we come to a lot that's about the size, I'm going to better say about two-thirds the size of this auditorium. It's just overgrown with everything. We stop. It's just vacant. And Sheila says, Pastor Shetler, Mr. Carlson, Brazilians love volleyball. And I go, yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I heard that. It's probably our national sport is volleyball. I said, oh, that's cool. Pastor Shetler, could you see a volleyball court in this field? Well, yeah, a lot of cleaning up, but yeah, I guess so. Well, I talked to the person who owns the field. This is right in an area where there's teenagers everywhere. I asked the person that owns the field if we could put a volleyball court on it. I said, you did? And he said, we could use the field. We would just have to clean it up. I said, man, Sheila, that's a great idea. You think that, Pastor? I said, yeah. Well, I bought a couple machetes. Yeah? And I know the teenagers in the area will help us clean it out. And we had some time this afternoon. Would you like to help? And I go, like clean up the, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't remember how many. I think there was at least 10 teenagers. We had machetes. We had all kinds of stuff to cut it down. We cleaned that thing out. I asked her, I said, do you have a, I got a net. I said, do you have a, I got a ball. She had everything. She had everything. We had that whole field cleaned out within 2-3 hours. All the young people did it. We got a net up. At the end of that, she gave the gospel, and guess what happened? Guess what happened? Nobody got saved that day. But after we got back to the States, Sheila was communicating with us, and she said, another 3 saved at the volleyball court. Another week, another 4 saved at the volleyball court. I'm going, okay, that is like the coolest thing in the world. We were walking the streets of Campo Grande, and we came to like what would be called like a YMCA in America, a weight thing, a fitness place, and a swimming pool. And she says, Mr. Carlson, Pastor Shetler, I teach swimming lessons there every day, and I've led 7 children to the Lord. I said, really? I said, you certified? No, but I know how to swim. And I said, whoa. And she says, I'm teaching the children how to swim. They love it, and I want us to go. We went and saw 2 twins. They were beautiful girls. They're 12 years old. We sat and talked to her mother in Portuguese, and gave the gospel to her mother. She didn't get saved that day, but she got saved later on. I'm going, way to go, Sheila. Our last day there, Sheila said, I need to tell you both something. I said, what's that? My arm's tired from doing the machete, you know. What's that? She said, over at my apartment, yeah, we're going to have a concert in the garage. I said, we're going to have a what? We're going to have a concert. What kind of concert? A piano concert. I said, Sheila, you play the piano, because it ain't coming from me, I'm telling you. I said, you play the piano? She says, I know 5 songs. She said, pray that they don't ask for an encore. She said, I know 5 songs. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to do 2 songs, and Mr. Carlson, you're going to give a testimony. We're going to do another song, and I'm going to share a testimony. We're going to do 2 more songs, and Pastor, you're going to give the interpret for you. I go, okay. You think anybody will come? 38 people packed in that garage with chairs. I mean, it was just, they were just packed in there. 38 people. We went through everything. After I got done preaching, Sheila gave an invitation, and four people raised their hand to receive Christ as their Savior. I'm going, this girl's unbelievable. I don't swim, but I can teach. I know how to swim. I'll teach them. This would be a great field. You know what she had? Oh, come on now. Help me out now. You know what she had? She had what? She did. She had creativity. She looked at what she had. She looked at what the needs were. And she connected both of those things together. Now listen to me. You can start becoming creative. You've got people, oh, Brother Shelley, we just, you know, door to door doesn't work in Dover. By the way, I'm not sure it doesn't, but I'm going to just tell you this. There's other clubs in the bag. And you need to ask God to give you a spirit of creativity. You got fellow workers. You have neighbors. You've got people that need Jesus Christ. And you need to ask God for a spirit of creativity on how to reach them. I don't even want to get into all the stories about Christian education. We used our Christian school to reach the community. We had a singing group. We had all kinds of things. We did community projects. And we used our Christian school to reach people for Jesus Christ. And we had a big sports program. We used our Christian school football team to reach public high school teams that we played with a Santa Maria tri-tip barbecue. And we saw many of the players get saved, the coaches and the cheerleaders trust the Lord. Listen, use creativity. I know we got to get going, but that's a big one. Number two, very quickly, confidence. You're in Luke chapter 5. You guys got to see this. Look at verse 19. And when they could not find by what way that they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling. Now get ready because I'm going to need your help. With his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he, Jesus, saw the next word, the next two words are imperative for Lighthouse Baptist to get. And when he saw everyone together, what are the next two words? Their faith. Not the guy in the stretcher. When Jesus saw their faith, I have been in ministry for 43 years. I have seen at evangelistic meals. I have seen at evangelistic services. I have been at camp. Come on, man. I have been everywhere. And I'm going to tell you this. Do you know when you see people get saved? Yeah, when the preachers. No. I'll tell you when you see people get saved. When the people believe and have confidence that people are going to get saved. People get saved. I'll tell you right now, every evangelistic meal I have ever preached at, when they believe, I got friends coming. I just did a barn meeting in late July down in Atmore, Alabama at the Porter's Ranch. And they did this big barn meeting. And I got to tell you, they're coming. As they were coming in, people were coming to me. Pastor Shotler, they called me Pastor down there. Pastor Shotler, I got an unsaved friend. He's going to get saved tonight. Hey, I brought a buddy tonight. He needs the Lord. He's going to get saved tonight. Hey, we saw 16 people get saved that night. And I'm telling you something. You will see people get saved. If the believers have confidence, people will get saved. You've got to have confidence. Number one, creativity. Number two, confidence. I want to talk about this real quick. Number three, character. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. You know the passage? I'm going to start reading it. Matthew 5:13. Ye are the salt of the earth. Okay, there are four things that salt does. Number one, salt preserves. It holds back corruption. Hold on to that one. Number two, salt adds flavor to the food. Number three, salt makes you thirsty. And number four, salt melts ice. Okay, four things that salt does. Salt, number one, holds back corruption. Come on, Christian, start living right. Start living right. This is a funny golf story again. I don't usually have too many golf stories, but my wife and I went to Sandestin for a getaway, and one of the things I wanted to do was play at a really nice golf course. So it was just me. And so I went over and I played, and I got hooked up with three guys. These three guys had the worst language ever. I mean, well, maybe not the worst ever, but they had really, and they were just cussing and swearing. We played nine holes at the break, but we were getting a little bit of a bond going. And, you know, they were having fun with me. I was having fun with them. At the break, they said, "Hey, by the way, Jim, what do you do?" I said, "I'm a pastor." They said, "You're what? You're a reverend?" I said, "I am. I'm a pastor. I preach the gospel. I talk to people about Jesus." They all said it together. "No, hey, we are so sorry about the way we talked." And I said, "Well, that's interesting. It was pretty salty. You know, no fun. But yeah, that was a little." You know what? I'm telling you the honest truth. They never said another swear word. End of the time, we prayed, and I gave them the gospel. None of them trusted Christ, but I got to plant a seed, and they loved spending time with me. Now, let me tell you something. We think today we got to become like the world to reach the world. No, 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 no. You become the salt of the world, and you will make a difference in people's lives. We don't need to become like the world to reach the world. If we become like the world to reach the world, what have we reached them to? Why does a lost person want the same lifestyle that they have already? Listen, salt holds back corruption. Number two, though, salt makes you thirsty. You start taking salty stuff, you eat a big ham, man, I got to have something to drink. And I'm going to tell you something. Your life ought to make people thirsty for Jesus Christ. Then salt adds flavor to the food. Man alive, you eat some, you've got mashed potatoes. You got to put some salt on that stuff, man, or otherwise it's just like paste. You got to have salt. Salt adds flavor. That's what you're supposed to do at your work. You add flavor to life. Man, what do you got? You went through this whole COVID thing, and you had a different attitude than everybody else at work. Man, you're the one that adds flavor. And I'll tell you what else. Salt, and you guys know this in Pennsylvania, salt melts ice. You put salt on the roads because it melts ice. And you know what? If you're the salt that you're supposed to be, you'll melt the hardest hearts for Jesus Christ. We need to be the salt. By the way, what's the next thing, Lighthouse Baptist Church? You're not only the salt of the earth, what else are you? Ye are the light of the world. Come on, Lighthouse, start shining. Start shining. Creativity, confidence, character. Now, what about character? So I said this to the teenagers yesterday, and I believe this. Do you know one of the greatest ways to be salt in our culture today? Be the gender that God created. Men, start being men. Women, start being women. And people will take note of that. They will go like, "Whoa, why did you just do that?" "Well, that's because I'm a man. Why did you act that way?" "Well, that's because God created me a woman, and that's the way a woman is." And I'm telling you, you're going to have opportunities to witness just by being your gender. You're going to have opportunities to witness by being at work on time. You're going to have opportunities to witness just by the way you live your life, by what you don't drink, by what you do live. I am telling you right now, your character is one of the greatest tools to move stones out of the way to bring people to Jesus. Last one, and we're done. Compassion. Rolling stones out of the way, you got to have creativity, you got to have confidence, you got to have character, and you got to have compassion. Take your Bibles, and we'll close with this. Jude, verse 21 and 23. Jude, take your Bibles and turn to Jude, verse, you can pick any chapter you want. But anyways, Jude, verse 21 through 23. Listen to these verses. By the way, listen to this first one about the salt, about the character. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Boy, is that a good verse. That is exactly what I preached Friday to the couples, actually. I didn't use this verse, but this is a great. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have, everyone together, and of some have compassion, making a difference. I'm telling you, nothing will move a stone out of the way for a dead person to get to Jesus like compassion. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Wow, what a passage. compassion. Because of time, I want to end with this. I got saved at age 12, but I did not live for the Lord until I got to Christian college. I got to Bible college. But I got saved at age 12. If you ask me, Brother Shuttler, can you remember one message from age 12 to 18? I would say, no, I don't remember one message except when I was a senior in high school. We had an evangelist come. Don't remember his name, but I'll never forget his last night of the meetings. I'm in Bible Baptist Church, Traverse City, Michigan. We're running about 400 to 500 people. The church is exploding. That night, that guy preaches. I say, preach. I don't remember the text. I think it was John 3:16, but I'm not sure. He read a passage. He prayed. And for 45 minutes, he talked about his German shepherd. I'll never forget as long as I live. For 45 minutes, he told stories about his German shepherd. Now, I got to tell you, he was pretty entertaining. And that dog was amazing. He talked about one time the German shepherd protected his life. He would have been killed or something like that. And he talked about the tricks that the dog did. And I'm telling you, after 45 minutes, we were connected to that dog. And this is how he ended the message. He said, we live on a country road. And one day I'm playing catch, and I can't remember the dog's name. I wish for anything for the illustration I could remember the dog's name. But he says, I was throwing a stick. And one time I threw that stick a little too far, and the stick went out into the country road. The German shepherd went after the stick and did not see. I remember this. I don't remember the name of the dog, but I remember this. A green van came by and hit my dog and killed my dog instantly in the county road. Well, I got to tell you something. When he said that dog was killed on that county road, you could start hearing sniffling. There was crying. And those were the men, okay? They were starting to, people were crying. As long as I live, I was 18, I'm 65. As long as I live, I will never forget what happened next. That guy, we're crying. We're, oh man, your poor dog. He came around the side of the pulpit. He pointed that finger at us. And he said these words, Bible Baptist, shame on you. Shame on you. You will cry over a dead dog and let Traverse City go to hell. And as long as I live, I will never forget that night. I mean, people are going like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay. And I thought that night when I drove home, we lived about 30 miles from that church. When I drove home that night, I said, oh, God, I'm more interested, and I cry about this, or my football team loses, or this. And I let Leland, I let Traverse City go to hell. And I thought, oh, what's wrong with us? And I'm going to tell you this. There are things in your life right now that are way more important than the souls of your neighbors. There are things right now that make you cry that are temporal. And we ought to have compassion for the people in Dover. We ought to have compassion for Pennsylvania. Some of you are all upset with Pennsylvania. Well, you know what? Stop thinking about politics and start thinking about the souls of people. Because there's souls dying in Pennsylvania in this area that need Christ. Tomorrow you got a funeral. Man, I don't know who's going to be at that funeral. Good chance there's probably going to be some lost people. You ought to expect people to get saved tomorrow at that funeral. You ought to give the gospel. You ought to witness to people. Hey, listen, we're coming into one of the greatest times of the year to be a witness and to be salt for Jesus Christ. Lighthouse Baptist, it's time for you to start moving some stones out of the way. ask God for creativity. Come believing in confidence people are going to get saved. Start having a character that shows the light and is the salt of the earth, and start loving people. Because there's nothing that moves a stone away and gets Jesus to dead people faster than compassion. Are you going to start moving stones out of the way?